Father, we believe in you tonight. We believe in you because you first loved us and you made it all possible. Even our faith and our believing, you initiated, you responded to us, you planned out, mapped out our salvation from before the foundation of the world was laid in place. Tonight, as we come before you, Father God, we come with an eagerness, with an expectation. We come, Father God, tonight excited because we're in the house of the Lord where you've always got something good for your people. We've come here, Father, expectant because we know that your word will not return to you void tonight. We've come here tonight enthusiastic because we're expecting to receive from you. We're not going to be bumps on a log tonight listening to the word. We're going to actively listen to the word tonight, Father God. We're going to apply faith to the mighty word of God. We know your word is just dripping with anointing. Your word's got an answer for every situation we face, every human condition, every ailment known to man. Your word's got the answer. And tonight, as we bring the word, Father, through the foolishness of preaching, you said, through the foolishness of preaching, your power displayed and demonstrated, your power to save, your power to heal, your power to set free, your power to deliver, your power to bless and bring favor. Father, we thank you for it tonight. It's all available to us in the word. And so we ask you, speak a word to your people. Speak a mighty word, Father God. In spite of the speaker tonight, speak a word in spite of me. Speak a word through me. Speak a word, Father God, to your people tonight. Those listening over a live stream or through some other venue, speak a word to every ear that hears this message tonight. Bless and feed your people. Thank you for unction and utterance on tonight. You know, we've studied and prepared ourselves, but Father, to get it out, to share it the way we feel it tonight, give us the unction, give us divine utterance to be able to say it tonight. And Father, give the people a heart to receive it. And then through your mighty Holy Spirit, bless each one individually. Bless and apply this word individually. Father, save, heal, deliver, set free. Bless and bring favor and goodness and your hand of prosperity. Bring all of your goodness to your people tonight. Whatever the need is, Father, bring it to your people. We'll be so pleased to give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise. Bless all of those who are in Oklahoma City with our pastors. Bless them, use them, guard them, protect them, all who are with them. And Father, we'd be so careful. We just give you all the glory, give you all the honor, give you all the praise for the privilege of sharing your word tonight and all the results. In Jesus' name we pray, believing, amen. Turn, tell somebody that you love them and you can find your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many come excited about the word tonight? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. You know, God is so good tonight. We're just reminded the goodness of God to me personally. And just how he has saved my life, saved me. I was a Catholic boy and a servant, and I learned a lot from the beautiful Catholic people, learned a lot, learned that God was real, learned that God loved me. Then in May of 1979, the Lord saved my life. And I'm so grateful tonight to be in the kingdom of God, to be washed in the blood. As a Catholic boy, I remember when my friend Vance and I, we went to Rutgers and we were going to listen to this guy give a talk. I think I told you that before. And he was coming to do a follow-up on a film that they had showed in Vance's dorm on Christian dating. And Vance and I were going to lunch. Vance had forgot that. And we went on over there and got into a Bible study with this guy. For 30 minutes a week, we got into a Bible study with him. And he was trying to show us that we needed Christ. Vance, he saw it before I did. He gave his life to Jesus. I didn't think I needed to receive Jesus. I thought just being Catholic, my Catholicism saved me. I'd been sprinkled as a baby, and I thought that saved me, and I couldn't see it. And he kept sharing, you know, he kept going through the gospel message again and again. I was just blind. I couldn't see it. And then one day my eyes opened, the eyes of my heart opened. And you know, we ought to pray for those who are lost. We ought not ridicule or mock them. We ought not argue with them or be in strife with them. We ought pray for them and show them love. Ask God to open up the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their heart, to illuminate the eyes of their heart. You know, they pray the Ephesians prayers, but after 6 months, the glorious gospel, the light of the gospel shone in my heart, and I could see it's one thing for me to know there is a God. It's another thing for me to know that God loves me. It's another thing for me to know that God sent his son to die for me. But I knew those three things, but that's not enough. The Bible says in John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And I hadn't received him. I hadn't personally received him. And I couldn't see my utter lostness. I couldn't see my need for it. But oh, the Lord revealed himself. He opened up the word to me and revealed the word to me. And I've never been the same. Never been the same. Just got gloriously born again. Because God, I want to talk about three of God's attributes tonight. And these three attributes will meet any need that's in the house tonight. Any need represented here in this house, anybody listening through some other venue, you got a need in your life tonight. These three attributes of God have got you covered. I double guarantee you. Money in the bank. These three attributes of God. The first one I want to talk about, God, he is a revealer. He's a revealer. He revealed himself to me. That's how I got born again. He revealed him. He opened up his word to me. He revealed himself. He revealed the word to me. And that's how I got born again. I'm so glad tonight that God is a revealer. You have your Bible. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to stop at verse 13. When I say stop, that's where we're going to start. As your eyes are scanning the chapter, stop at verse 13, because that's where we're beginning. Matthew 16, verse 13. I'm reading New American Standard, if you will. I'm going to read from verse 13 to verse 17. Everybody ready? Here we go. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Jesus was essentially saying to Peter, he was so happy with Peter with this response. Normally, you know, Peter always had open mouth, insert foot disease. You know, he was always saying the wrong thing, the wrong time, you know, but not here. He was on point. When Jesus asked this question, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, or Simon, son of Jonah. Blessed are you. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. He said, you got that from the Father. The Father revealed that to you. He said, you got a revelation. He said, the Father talked to you about that. And I mean, it's important that we have a revelation from God concerning his word, concerning our lives. God is a revealer. I said, he's a revealer. Aren't you glad tonight? And I'm so glad he revealed my need for Christ. He revealed my lostness and my religiosity. And I was able to get born again. Glory be to God. He's a revealer. What do you need tonight? You may be sitting there tonight needing answers. You need answers to prayer. Your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, he's a revealer. He knows everything we don't know. We know a lot, but what we know is so little. But he knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Aren't you glad about that? He's everywhere. He's all powerful. He knows everything, and he's a revealer. And he told Peter here, he said, you didn't get that from man. What you got about what? When I asked, who do you say that I am? Because that's a crucial question. Who do you say? And he told Peter, he said, the Heavenly Father revealed that. Peter, you did great. You got a revelation from God. You heard from God. Glory be to God. You heard from God. God revealed that. God the Father revealed that. You know, you could go down just a few verses from this scripture and he has to rebuke Peter. Have you ever read that where He says, get behind me, Satan. Jesus starts saying he's going to go to the cross. He's going to die and sacrifice his life. And Peter said, oh, no, may it never be. May it never be. You don't need to go to any cross. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So it just serves to prove that you can have a revelation in one area and you can be blind or ignorant in another area. Can I say it like that? Sometimes we assume just because we have a revelation in one area, we assume or act like we got a revelation in everything. Well, just we got a revelation in this area, so that means automatically we're just going to have a revelation in everything. No, you might be blind in some other area. Thank God for whatever revelation you have. But just because somebody has a revelation in one area don't mean they have a revelation in every other area. I said amen. But God, what's my first point? He's a revealer. Say that with me. God is a revealer. Yeah, he's a revealer to you. Said he's a revealer to you. And so, you know, when the Lord, he has so many things to say to us. He, you know, Luke 24:45, you don't have to turn there. But, you know, Luke 24:45 says that then Jesus, talking about Jesus and the disciples, Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You ever read that in Luke 24:45? It said he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. In other words, he revealed the scriptures to them. In other words, he opened up the meaning of scripture to them. Every single one of us need that. If we're going to have a vital, thriving relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to know God our Father as a revealer. Because he is. He is an awesome revealer. Go with me to the book of John, Let's look over there for a minute. We're talking about God is a revealer. What's my first point tonight? He's a revealer. Your Heavenly Father, he's a revealer. He's a revealer. I'm so glad about that. Over in John 14, go with me to John 14. John 14. We'll stop first at verse 16. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, we're living in that day that he was talking about here. He said the Holy Spirit will be in you. We're living in that day. Aren't you glad? He's inside us. Glory to God. If you're born again, he's inside you. Look at John 14:21. He's a revealer. This is Jesus speaking. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose or reveal myself to him. Aren't you glad God's a revealer? He'll reveal himself to you. Jesus said, you know, today everybody says they love God, and that's wonderful, wonderful. But Jesus said, somebody who really loves God, he said, 21 again, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved of my Father. I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Look at 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I said, God, he's a revealer. Your Heavenly Father is a revealer. Look down at 15, verse 7. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it shall be done unto you. You notice the caveat in there? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's an important distinction. I said, amen. If his words are abiding us, we're going to be asking for the correct things and not be off in greed or some other type of wrong motive or something, asking for the wrong thing at the wrong time. When his word abides in us, then we'll be in sync with him. Look at verse 26 of John 15. Verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He's a revealer. Look over at 16 and verse 13. Now, really, we're comparing what I first read in 14:21. I and my Father will come to him and disclose ourselves to him. From 14:21, we're comparing that here to 16 in verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. In 14 and 21, Jesus said, I will love him and will disclose myself to him. In 16 and verse 13, he said, he will disclose to you what is to come. So God is a revealer. First of all, he's a revealer of truth. And if he finds someone who sincerely is seeking the truth, then God will reveal himself to that person. I said, that's how I got born again. I was sincere. I was blind, but I was sincere. I kept coming to Bible study. He kept sharing scriptures. I didn't see it. I left every week thinking I was born again. But then one time when I went and I saw the scriptures, I felt uncovered. I felt something's wrong. I could see something's wrong with me. I need something more than what I have. All I had was religion. But I could see, oh, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. That's how I got born again. God revealed it. I said, he disclosed himself to me. There's something about the sincerity of a man or a woman's heart. John 7:17 says, Jesus said this when people were questioning, is this doctrine of God or not? This doctrine you're teaching, Jesus, is it of God? He responded this way, John 7:17, if any man is willing to do my will, then he'll know of the teaching, whether it's of God or whether I'm just speaking of myself. He said, if any man is first willing. In other words, God doesn't want us just to be seeking truth without a commitment to follow it once we find out. I wish I had an amen here. Sometimes people say, I want to know the truth. I'm seeking after truth. I want to know the truth. Then they find the truth. They're not willing to follow it. Child, please, that ain't, you're not seeking the truth if that's what you're after. You're just being nosy. But when somebody has a commitment to follow the truth, you understand what I'm saying? I remember shortly after I got born again, God revealed himself to me. And when I got born again, I remember then in Bible study, the Bible study leader, he said that premarital sex was wrong and that, you know, we shouldn't participate in any activity like that. And I thought to myself, oh, no, I never learned that among the Catholics. I never learned that that was wrong. And I thought, I hope that's not true. But then I thought, well, if I find out that is true, then I'm going to have to follow it. I'm just being honest with you. I said, if I find out that's true, I'll have to follow that. So you know what I said? I said to myself, I don't want to know if that's true or not. I don't want to know nothing about that. I'm not going to seek to find out one single thing about that. I'm going to act like I never heard that. I don't want to know nothing about that. And I'm telling you, my conscience ate me alive. My conscience ate me alive. I couldn't eat right. I'm telling you, I couldn't sleep right. I was on the back of a Rutgers bus. I said, all right, Lord, all right, I'll find out. My conscience ate me alive. And of course, when I found out that was wrong, and I was immediately committed to that. That changed my whole life. I knew that if I find out that's truth, I'm going to follow that. I'm not just casually seeking for the truth. If you show me the truth, if you reveal something, Father, I want to find it. See, your problem may be you may not be sincere. And see, if you're just playing around with God, you'll be going around in an endless loop looking for the truth. Oh, but the moment a man or a woman becomes sincere, and by sincere, I mean committed. And by committed, I mean willing to follow. Woo, God will reveal himself. You follow that person, God will reveal himself to that person. Oh, yes, he will. God will show that person. And you sincere, you first willing to do it. John 17, God will show you that. He'll reveal himself. Yeah, he's a revealer. Glory be to God. But there in 16 there, when we're reading there in John 16, 13, he said he will disclose to you what is to come. And I'm so glad that the Father is also a revealer. He's a revealer of truth. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He reveals the truth of his word. The Holy Spirit's a revealer of truth. He reveals us to himself. But I'm so glad also, listen, he's able to disclose what is to come. He's able to show us things that we cannot see ourselves. He can show us things off into the future. Well, I wish I had an amen here. I just read, is that in your Bible? He said he will show you things to come. Now, let me say this. It didn't say he'll show us everything to come. Sometimes people today, they start acting like they know everything to come. They know everything. Nothing ever gets them by surprise. Nothing ever. They know everything in advance before it happens. Child, please. If that were true, you wouldn't have to walk by faith. And the Bible says we have to walk by faith, not by sight. He's not going to show us everything. I said, go read 1 Corinthians 13:12. He said, we see through a glass dimly. I said, amen. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord. But the things revealed, there are things that God reveals. Some things are a secret. And I'll tell you this, when something is a secret, leave it alone. Can't get no amen there. You may be wondering why grandma died. When something is a secret, if God hadn't revealed it, leave it alone. Stop touching that in thought life. Let it go. Some things are a secret between God and that person. And if he don't want you to know, then he don't want you to know. And there are some things that are just a secret between us and God, or between God and that person. And so stop being nosy. Leave it alone. God said it's a secret. You still trying to figure it out. If he didn't reveal it, leave it alone. He said, I'll show you things to come. I remember something happened with my mama, my sweet mama, and I didn't understand it. I asked the Lord to help me to reveal what was it? Because my mama, at that time she had cancer, and I just found out about healing, and I was calling home, quoting scripture, and coming home, quoting scripture, and keeping her up at night, quoting scripture, and I would just, I had just enough scripture to be dangerous. But the little I had that was revealed, I was sharing it with my mama. And nobody but our family knew, but she had cancer in the brain, and the cancer had eaten her optic nerve. I think it was her left eye, had eaten her optic. So she could see perfectly out of her right eye, but out of her left eye, that cancer had eaten her optic nerve. But it didn't affect the movement of her eye or anything, so nobody knew she was blind in that eye. But the cancer had completely eaten through the optic nerve. And the doctor had said that was going to happen. And the doctor told her, when that happens, you'll go completely blind. But just our family knew it. But my mama, she was just so good at her balance and everything. Nobody knew she was blind in that eye. And I was talking to her about healing. And I never forget, she called me. I was up at Rutgers in my dorm. She called me and she said, baby, something happened tonight. And I said, mama, what happened? And something happened. We didn't understand it. We needed God to... We needed God to reveal what was going on, because she went to a Pentecostal church. It wasn't her church. She was going to a Baptist church. She went to, and thank God for the Baptists and all. But she was at a Pentecostal church, and they had a guest preacher, and he walked down the aisle. She was sitting on the back of the church. My mama said she didn't know anybody in the church, or maybe if she knew somebody, she wasn't sitting with them, and she didn't know the people who were there. The minister came down the aisle, and my mama said he kept coming down the aisle. She's sitting in the very back of the church. She said he walked down a long aisle, walked all the way to, she said, I'm sitting at the very end of the pew on the last row. And she said, the minister came all the way down the aisle, said, ma'am, you there, stand up on your feet. Said, would you come out into the aisle? And my mama said, me? He said, yeah, come on out into the aisle. So my mama went out into the aisle, and he said, you're blind in your left eye. And my mama got real nervous, and she said, yeah, I am. He said, you can't see a thing in that left eye. She said, I can't. And he said, I'm going to lay my hands on you. You're going to see perfectly. He laid his hand on my mama. She could see perfectly out of that eye. It was just an absolute miracle. But here's where I said you have to have God as a revealer. See, we didn't have enough knowledge. And so she went home doubting. She went home doubting. She was immediately doubting. It was just an absolute miracle. She got in the car saying, there's no way I should be able to see. How can I see? God, how can I see? How did this happen? How did it happen? She went home. My mama told me over the phone. And when she pulled in our driveway, her healing instantly left. She left the church, could see perfectly. She said, I saw all the way home. And she told me. She said, I doubted all the way home. And she said, the moment I pulled the car in the driveway, just like you snapped your finger, my newly sighted eye was blind again. Now, see, she asked me on the phone, how come? I don't know. I'm too new. I don't know. We're asking ourselves. I said, I know God is not going to give us something one day and then take it away. It can't be that. But that's what she's thinking. A lot of people think like that. Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say this sweetly. That's just an ignorance. They need to have scripture revealed. Now, see, later, in later years, that was all revealed to me. I could see it just clear as day. You say, what was revealed? Well, you have to keep the switch of faith turned on. I said the same faith that's required to receive your healing is the same faith that's required to keep your healing. You can't get no amen teaching like this. Who are y'all slowing me down? I said he'll show you things to come. He's a revealer. He's a revealer. And the thing is, you have to stay in faith. And sometimes in Christendom today, when people don't receive instantly, then they think they haven't received at all. Listen to me now. Faith is always now. And whether or not you see a manifestation, something has happened, something has changed, you should have entered into faith right then. Faith is always now. And if you don't see an immediate manifestation, keep the switch of faith turned on. But the enemy gets people over into reasoning. Well, check yourself. Do you feel any different? Well, nothing happened to you then. Well, do you still have those symptoms? Nothing happened to you then. Well, do you still? He wants to get us in the feeling and reasoning realm. Can you still feel it? Do you still see it? Because what follows reason is doubt and unbelief. Can't get no amen teaching on this. Woo, y'all have slowed me down to a snail's crawl. I mean, I get past my first point tonight. I got 3 points to make. Y'all slowing me down. This unenthusiastic lack of amens is slowing me down. I'm messing with you. No, you know, so the things revealed, you have to keep the switch of faith turned on. We're helping somebody tonight. I said the same faith required to get your blessing is the same faith required to keep your blessing. And when you prayed, you should have entered into faith right then. And then, listen, and then just stay in faith. It doesn't matter what you feel. Stay in faith. It doesn't matter what they said. Stay in faith. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I said, he'll show you things to come. And so we found out, you know, later as I got revelation, then we found out, oh man, mama, you should have stayed in faith. You should have. I didn't say that to her. I found out much later. But we knew God had done a miracle. And sometimes the things of God, you know, we have to just keep our head in the book to continue to get revelation, because God's a revealer of truth. And as I continued to seek him, he revealed the truth of his word to me. And oh, when he reveals his truth, then he can open up things to come for the future. God can show you things about the future. Listen to me. He may not show you everything. And some things may be a secret. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. He's not going to show you everything. It would give us the ability to walk without faith if we showed us everything. But he will show us some things. I'm convinced of this as I stand here tonight. He wants to show us more things than we have heretofore realized. And there are things about your future. There are things about your life. There are things about your family. There are things about your finances that you need to know about. I said, he'll show you things to come. I remember way before my mama got sick, I look back now and I see the Lord. He tried to show me that my mom was going to go home to be with the Lord. I just rebuked that. He was trying to prepare me. My mama was going to go home to heaven. I just rebuked all of that in the name of Jesus. And if you had told me that, I would have rebuked you in the name of Jesus. Back then, you know. But I needed him to reveal more to me. I didn't know how to receive it. But the day came, my mama went to heaven. And he revealed to me why. And I was grateful that God gave me that revelation. I remember decades later, the Lord showed me when my dad was going to go. He showed me 2 years out that my dad was going to go to heaven. And I recognized it then. I had the maturity to see it and to recognize it and to embrace it and to thank the Lord for it. It was just a precious gift. And my dad and I, we had a good time. In that 2 years, we did everything. We had some fun. Well, we went on a cruise together. We went out to eat together. I flew to Jersey one night, took him to the most expensive steakhouse I could find in New York. In a blizzard, snowstorm, we rented a car, went up there. We had a good time. Smile on my dad's face that night eating that steak. But he said, boy, this was too much. It was you'd been flown all this way, and you only had a couple days. Then you'd have spent all this money on these steaks. And he said, son, I'm just upset at that. I said, oh, dad, the smile on your face tells me something different. We went to ordering the barbecue sauce and the utensils from the place. You know, we had a great time. But I knew this time is a gift, so enjoy it. We had a good time. And when the day came when he went home, my heart was full. I had done everything. We had said all of the I love you. We had hugged each other. The Lord had prepared me for it. He had shown me something to come. I said, with my mama, I didn't receive it. But with my dad, I remember what the Lord talking about him showing us things to come. I can see it. I'm not going to get past this first point. He'll show you things to come. I should give you some more scripture if I'm only going to make this one point. He'll show you things to come. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. He'll show you things to come. But I tell you, we ought to spend time in his presence, and we ought to spend time in prayer. And there seems to be some connection between those who spend time in his word and those who spend time in prayer. But there are times, look at Ephesians 6, we'll start at 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Everyone assumes that that verse 17 is the end of the armor of the Lord or the armor of God. At 17 says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And a lot of times people assume that's the end of the armor. But the end of the armor, listen, verse 18 is a part of that armor. It's just as much a part of the armor as verse 17. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. In the Spirit. So what are you saying? Praying in the Spirit is a part of that armor. Praying in the Spirit is a part of that armor. And see, a lot of times the more we take time. Now, again, I've already said God's not going to show us everything. I hope you don't conclude that from my mouth. I'm not saying that. God's not going to show us everything. Some things are a secret. And secret things belong to the Lord. But there are some things he'll show us. There are some things that he'll reveal. But what will help us immeasurably is taking extra time to pray in the Spirit. Taking extra time to pray in the Spirit. The year before I came into full-time ministry, working here at the church, I will never forget extra times of set aside, of skipping dinner and praying in the Holy Ghost. All kinds of prayer. We should pray all kinds of prayer. But we should not neglect praying in the Spirit. And so often the Lord can show. I knew that year something was going to change. I knew praying early in the year, praying in the Spirit. I was working full time and I knew the Lord was going to transition me. But if you'll yield yourself and listen, we have to stay connected to the Word. Let me just say this again. Anything that we feel the Lord is showing us, we ought to compare to the Word. There is no standard higher than God's Word. And the Holy Spirit is not going to disagree with the Holy Word. And whatever your experience is, God's word trumps your experience. Who are y'all slowing me down? It don't matter what your experience is. You have to compare your experience to the word of God. What does the word say? And then let the word be your final guide. You have to teach it like this because people go off on a deep end. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I'm leaving my husband. So I said, well, why? And, you know, he wasn't beating, cheating and all that. So the person said, well, the Lord shows me there's a better man for me. I said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. They were shocked. I turned my Bible around. I said, I'm going to give you scripture after scripture now. And the person just read. They read scripture, just read it again. Read all the scripture I gave. I said, it's right there in the word. What I'm giving you, I'm giving you chapter and verse. You know, the person told me, so yeah, but I had a dream. You know, I said, I don't care nothing about your dream. Your dream can't supersede the word. That person said, you don't know how real my dream was. I said, I don't care how real that dream is. The Bible said the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Don't care about your dream. You better compare it to the word. I wish I had an amen. I'm teaching better than y'all are giving me an amen. First you kept me from getting to all three of my points. Now you're holding back on the amens. We're going to be here all night. I said, I don't care. Listen, I don't care about your experience. What does the word say? When you compare that experience of your dream to the word, drop that dream and stick with the word. Word told you to stay with your husband. She said, well, my dream is more important. You're going to go into a ditch like that. But he'll show you some things to come. And in this time of year, in this season, this is one of the busiest times of the year. There's rustling and bustling and all kind of things to be done. No doubt. But I encourage you, find some time to take time to pray and to enter in and pray in the natural. Pray using your understanding. Pray with your mind, of course. All that you know to pray, follow the rules of prayer. All the Ephesians prayers and Colossians prayers. Pray that. I encourage that. And then yield yourself to the Lord. Take time and get over in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. Spend some extra time over there. Because many times over there, the Lord, he'll show you something that's coming. Someone recently, I'll wind down here. Someone recently on Facebook, they sent me an article. And it was a young lady that I led to the Lord. I don't know, it had to be 1982. And right there on the campus of Rutgers University, we had just had a evangelistic service. I forgot my Bible or something, went back in to get it. And she had slipped in to the room we were using, and she was playing the piano. I thought she had been a part of the meeting, but I didn't recognize her, and I said something to her, and she was just very vague, and I asked her, were you at the meeting? No, I said, well, you know, we just had a church service here. She said, well, I know you guys have a church service in here, and she was just playing softly, and I began to ask her, do you know Christ? Do you know the Lord? She said no, and anyway, I just led her to the Lord right there at the piano. Her name's May. And she's just been gloriously saved all these years. And a few weeks ago, May, she sent me an article. She said, Brother Bill, she said, when you were in college, you had your own, I don't know if you remember, she said, you had your own column in the school's newspaper. You wrote Christian articles every week. And she said, those articles so encouraged me. You wrote something about strengthening the believers. You had your own article space in the newspaper, in the school's newspaper. And she said, you wrote those articles. And I remember that. Of course, I remembered that. And she sent me one of the articles that I had written all those years back, you know. And I read part of it and just made me want to cry, you know. And I thought about, Lord, you were the one who showed me that in advance. Because I really don't have any skills in that, organized skills in that area, writing articles. But one night the Lord showed me that I was going to be writing in the school's newspaper. And I woke up and I began to pray. I didn't know what it, I knew the Lord was talking to me about it. And I began to pray about it. And I shared it with my spiritual leaders and they all bore witness with it. And they said, "Do you have any experience writing articles?" I said, none, nothing. "Have you ever done it?" "Never done that." They said, "Do you know anybody at the school's newspaper, any of the editors, anybody who would let you do it?" I said, "Don't know a soul over there. Nobody. Don't have any experience. Don't know nothing about it. Don't know nobody." I don't think I said it like that. I said, "I don't know anybody." But the Lord had showed me something. And in prayer, I confirmed it was his will. And so I just said, "Father, I'll do it. If that's your will for me, I just seem to sense that's what the direction you're leading me in. I'll do it. But you're going to have to open the door. I don't know anybody. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. I'll do it." All I know is he showed me I was going to be writing articles in the school's newspaper. And I was on my way, after that prayer, I was on my way to class. And somebody called me from behind. His name was Brett Carroll. And Brett lived in my neighborhood. But Brett was 3 years ahead of me. He went to Rutgers, but I hadn't seen him in a long time because I'd been in high school and he'd been at Rutgers. And he was in his last year. And he ran up to me and he said, "Bill," he said, "man," he said, "I've been thinking about you." And I said, "Okay, how you doing?" He said, "How, you know, we shared pleasantries." And then he said, "I know you are connected to the church on campus. I know you're a Christian. And I know you're very involved as a Christian on campus. I've already followed you a little bit." He said, "I want to know." He said, "I'm the editor of the paper." My eyes got real big, but I tried not to show it. He said, "I want to know if you'll write articles in the school's newspaper." Christian articles is what I'm talking about. So I was going to blurt out, "Yeah." But before I could get there, he said, "Wait before you answer." He said, "If you'll do it," he said, "I'm the senior editor. If you'll do it," he said, "I'll set you up that you will have boundaries nobody else has. We won't edit any article you write for content." He said, "We'll just edit it for punctuality and grammar. Whatever you write will be printed, guaranteed." And I started to say, "Yeah, I'll do it." But before I could say, "Yeah," I'll do it, he said, "But wait, before you answer," he said, "I'll give you the same copy space, in other words, in the paper, your article will appear at the same place every week." He said, "Anyone else who they write articles for the paper, it could be anywhere on the paper. We just fit it in anywhere." He said, "Your article will have a prime position. People can look at that position every week. They'll find your article." I blurted out, "Yeah," and Brett honored his word. He said, "I'll let you turn your copy in later than anybody else. I'll give you till Sunday night," which was huge because everybody else had till Friday night. I could actually go home, write the article, come back, turn mine in by like 10 o'clock Sunday night. The Lord showed me something that was coming that I didn't even know how to do. But when I hooked up with him, I wrote article after article, just like Maywood. She sent me one of them. But I wrote every week. I had an article just influencing someone for the cause of Christ. How did I do that? I wasn't smart enough to do that. I didn't have any influence to do that. The Lord did that. There are things to come in this new year. Talking about you now. There are things to come in this new year. Talking about you now. And the Lord won't show you everything, but there are some things that he'll show you. And if you'll take the time to slip over there in prayer. Praying in the natural, praying with your mind, but praying also with the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2, "He who speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak to men. He speaks to God. No one knows what he's saying, but in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." That word mysteries can be interpreted answers. In the spirit, when you're praying in the spirit, oftentimes you're praying out an answer. Let me close on this. When I was in school, Brother Hagin shared with us that he was praying in the spirit
And he said he had been praying in the Spirit over a number of days, and the Lord started. He prayed everything in English, all the rules of prayer in English, but then he got over praying in the Spirit. And he said he didn't know what he was praying about, but he said he just felt like doing this. We were thinking that, we were sitting there saying, Brother Hagin, what you doing? And he said, I didn't know what that meant. He said, I was praying in the Spirit, making a small circle with my forefinger. Didn't know what it meant. He said, but I kept praying. Kept praying. He said, as I prayed, I made my circle a little wider. Didn't know what it meant, but kept praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, as I kept on praying, the circle, I just felt like just making a wide. He said, after a while, I was just making a circle just as wide as I could. Just as wide as I could. He said, after that, the interpretation of those tongues came. And the Lord told him, in the latter days of your ministry, the primary thrust of your ministry will be primarily through your books and tapes. And that was how this ministry knew how to concentrate on getting the word out in all those books and all those tapes. And of course, the books and tapes went all over, and still today, they're all over the world. Go somewhere in China, this ministry's books are over there. Go somewhere, wherever you're going, Malaysia, Russia, wherever. But Brother Hagin said that it all started with him slipping over into spending extra time praying in the Spirit and then making a circle, a meaningless circle to him. He didn't know what that meant. But as the interpretation came, see, the Lord said, at first the circulation of your books and tapes will start small, but then it'll increase, and then it'll get larger, and then it'll get larger, and then your books and tapes will go all around the world, all around the world. And the ministry knew to go in that direction because they'd spent time praying, and the Lord showed them something to come. I'm really ending. I was years ago, I was listening. My wife and I, we were on our knees listening to worship music with our hands lifted, worshiping God. And we were praying in the Spirit. He had already prayed in the natural. We were praying in the Spirit. And I caught myself doing something like that. And when I opened my eyes, I put my hands down, didn't know what it was. And the shortly after that, the next day, we were praying that way again, worshiping God on our knees with our hands in the air, worshiping God. And when I opened my eyes, I was doing that. I put my hands down. I was like, crazy. He'd been praying in the Spirit but the third day, that same thing happened. I was doing that, only my wife opened her eyes and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I have no idea. I feel like I'm playing a guitar. She said, you don't know anything about the guitar. I said, I know nothing. She said, you know nothing about music. I said, I don't know a thing about music. She said, you ever held a guitar? I said, maybe I've held a guitar, but I know nothing. I don't know nothing. Can't read it. Don't know nothing. Wouldn't know if I was holding it right. But through those times of prayer, the Lord showed me to get a guitar and to start taking lessons from nothing. And I'm not saying I play like, you know, Roy Clark or anything like that. Roy Clark played, but he's in heaven. But I worship God every day with my guitar. Barely a day goes by when I don't begin my day with my guitar in my hand. Before I came out here tonight, I had my guitar in my hand. With enough to worship him, to praise him. It was something he showed me on my knees. It was something he showed me that was to come. It was something that I didn't understand. But just praying in the Spirit. And now today, I'm just so happy, I'm just so blessed. I hardly like to go anywhere without my guitar. I'm not trying to give the impression that I'm a great guitar player, but I worship God. I play chords and I worship God. But to do all that, the Lord showed me something that was to come. Well, we could go on like this, right? So we better close. But the Lord is a revealer tonight. And with every head bowed, listen to me now. The Lord, he is so good. He's a rewarder and he's a restorer. If you're here tonight, I know we didn't get to our other two points tonight, but I feel like we covered what the Lord wanted us to say. If you're here tonight and you're not right with Christ, I know this for a fact. God wants to restore you. He's the great restorer. And he loves you so much, but he doesn't want you to go on like you're going. He wants to help you tonight. And if you'll let him, if you'll let him. Someone tonight, I just sense in my spirit, he's speaking to you, and you know you're not living right, but God loves you. He loves you so much, and he wants you to come home tonight. He wants you to make this right tonight. Let me see your hand. Say, brother, pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Ushers, help me. Help me. Somebody here, you know it's not right between you and God. Oh, the Lord loves you. But you see, you keep going this direction, you're going to get over into a ditch. The Lord loves you. He don't want you to go through that. Let me pray for you. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else in here? God wants to help you. He's not trying to take anything from you. He wants to get something to you. But if he can get you to cooperate with him, oh, he's going to bless you. Going to bless you immeasurably. I know I didn't get to my whole message tonight, but the part we got out tonight was necessary. And this part here, God, he's speaking to you. You know something's not right in your heart. Something's off in your heart. And you sense the Lord, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. God's trying to get something to you. I want this person who raised you. Yeah, I see your hand over here. If you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, maybe you've never received Jesus into your life, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. I want you to do something boldly. I want you to bold. God is going to bless you. God, he's looking at your sincerity now, the sincerity of your heart. He's going to bless you. I want you to boldly stand up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. That's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Just stand up on your feet. That's right. Now just step out on the aisle and come down here and let me pray for you. Come on down here and let me pray for you. Oh, get it right tonight. Get it right tonight. Come on, step up and step, stand up and come on down here and let me pray for you. God's going to help you. Oh, you know he's dealing with you. You know he's dealing with you in your heart. Come on and stand up. You had your hand up. You know God's dealing with you. Come on down here. Let God help you. Let him help you. Come right on over here. Let him help you. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's a long walk, but you're not going to regret it. It's a long walk, but you're not going to regret it. That's all right. That's all right. God is with you tonight. He loves you. Who else? Who else? Who else says, God, I'm more concerned about you, what you say, what's going on in my heart right now? Oh, God's got so much to tell you. He's got so much to show you. Come on down here like my two friends and let him help you. Just lift one hand to the Lord here. Just lift one hand, because after all, you're not coming to a man. You're coming to the Lord. And say this prayer with me out loud. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I ask you to take me in, to forgive me, to cleanse me, to make me the person you want me to be. I'm going to live for you and serve you with my whole heart, my whole mind, with all of who I am. I know that you're not a liar. You said that if I would ask, you would receive me unto yourself. So thank you for restoring me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. I thank you for helping my brother. I thank you for helping my sister. Whatever the circumstance, situation, Father, I thank you for filling them with wisdom that they're going to make just great decisions. Father God, I thank you for your favor upon them, your blessing upon them. I thank you for opening doors before them. I thank you for health and strength and peace in their heart and in their life in the name of Jesus. I thank you for meeting every need of their life. I thank you, Father God, for just comforting them and strengthening them and helping them in every situation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all of the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Brother Tracy. He's our prayer minister. He's an anointed brother. I want you to go with him for a few minutes. He's going to give you some free materials and then ask you any questions, and you can ask him any questions. We love you tonight. Come on, let's show our friends, our family. Aren't you glad? Stand up on your feet. Lift your hand toward our brother and sister. Aren't you glad? The Bible says there's joy in heaven. When one person repents and turns around, there's joy all over heaven. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for just ministering to our brother, minister to our sister. May your power fall in that prayer room. May they receive everything that they came for tonight. May your mighty power, your miraculous power, your strengthening power be manifest in them. Father, thank you for giving them everything they need. In Jesus' name, amen. God is a good God. He's a revealer on tonight. He wants to show you things to come. Now, I'll show you everything, but there are some things he wants to show you. If you'll make a little time for him, you'll see what we're talking about tonight and why we only made it to this first point. We're so glad you came tonight. We're so glad that you listened through some other stream or some other way. We're so glad tonight. If you need to repent, those of you who are watching some other way, then you repent. Make sure your heart is right with God. But for everyone, listen, find a little time. Push back on your schedule just a little bit. And let God speak to you. Let him minister to you. Let him show you things to come. Father, we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We had some first-time guests tonight. I think that we have some first-time guests. And we want to do what was promised. We want to give them that good gift. If you would, our first-time guest, while we are applauding for you, we want our connection team members to go and escort you to the place where that gift is. They're not going to hold you long. Yeah, let's give it up for them. They're not going to hold you long. Just long enough to give you that gift. If you'll go with them right now, they're just going to give you that gift, and we just want to bless you. In the name of our pastors and our church family here, we love you. We're so glad you came. Give them one more hand. Give them one more hand. All right, well, listen, you remember, keep Pastor Mrs. Hagen, the Hagen family, in your prayers this week. Also, be here on Wednesday night for Hour of Power. And remember, Wednesday will probably be the last time we can contribute to the Hagen's Christmas offering, because then we'll present it to them on Sunday. So all hearts clear over here. Everything good? All right. So we love you. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed. God bless you.